Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Now, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so excited about what God is doing, and I'm telling you, this is a day, but this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to continue ministering this word. And I just want to share with you all just one simple thing, and that is God has a plan for your life. And if you simply just grab hold of his plan, his will, then you'll find that there's a lot of things that God has already prepared for you, and it will be a blessing to you. Let's get into the announcement. And into our prayer, and then let's get into this word. Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. And once again, thank you for joining us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just want you to know every Tuesday and every Saturday, every Tuesday at 7, every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., you can join Apostle McQueen for our Lifestyles Broadcast. That's Tuesday at 7. And Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday night, 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. That's 7 p.m. every Thursday. And you can hear both of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. We want you to know this is our website. We ask that you would take some time and visit us there. Learn more about us, the ministry, amen, and the churches and the ministries that God has given us the grace to cover. We ask that you would become a vision and a prayer partner with this ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. You could do that by clicking on the donate button, that is on our website. Let us know what God lays upon your heart to give, amen. And it will definitely go to a mighty cause for helping us to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny have a Facebook page. We invite you to like us on the Facebook page. As you're visiting us, please leave your prayer requests as well as your praise reports. Also, someone can touch and agree with you, amen, concerning your situation, believing, amen, and standing on God's word that he will do everything that we ask according to his will. Also, if you would like Apostle McQueen or myself to come and minister at your church, we ask that as you go to our website, www.ctkr.org, go to our contact page, leave all your vital information, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Now for the exciting news. On October 18th and 19th, 2013, I'm personally inviting you to join me for my Women's of Prophetic Destiny Conference, amen, going to be located at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. This year's theme is Don't Abort Your Assignment. Powerful message that the Lord has laid upon my heart. We have many teachers and preachers, apostles, prophets, all the fivefold ministry gifts will be in the house. I want you to come. Women, it is a women's conference, but men, you too are invited. I want you to show up as well, amen, and just join us there for a mighty high time in the Lord. We have powerful minstrels. We have praise and worship and many guests that are coming from all over the United States. That's October 18th and 19th, 2013. Want to see you there. For Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, don't abort your assignment. Amen. You can check, see our flyers and check us out on our Facebook pages, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Thank you so much. Now let us look for the Lord in prayer. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we worship your name. Lord, we thank you that this day you have made. We're rejoicing and we are glad in it. Father, even now as we come, we humble ourselves mighty at your feet. We grab the throne or the horns of grace right now. And God, we ask that you would just begin to pour into us this night. As the word of God comes forth, we open up our hearts and our minds. And we just say, have your way, Holy Spirit. As the man of God begins to bring the word, Father, we're asking that you would begin to enlighten us, God. We ask for wisdom and knowledge and understanding according to your word, your will and your purpose for our lives. Father, we thank you that this word is getting ready to change a life right now. We thank you that this word is getting ready to change a destiny right now. Someone, God, is going to be saved. Someone's life is going to be changed. Someone's home life is going to be at peace. Somebody's body is going to be healed. Father, we thank you right now that you're bringing us into a full understanding of who you are and who you called us to be. We glorify you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Thank you for that awesome prayer. We want to just redirect your attention to our announcement. For October 18th and 19th, we just want to say to Pastor David E. Bryant and the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, thank you for allowing us to use the location for the conference. It was meeting with different ones and speaking to them. I want you all to know that everyone is excited about what God is doing, and they're excited about this conference. We're looking forward to an awesome time in the Lord. And my wife alluded to the fact that the title is Women of Prophetic Destiny, and it is assumed that it's a women's conference. Coming up, Prophetess and I, God gave us a spiritual mother who's since gone on to be with the Lord, Mother Stella Boyd. Mother Boyd had women of, Daughters of Zion. Had a counterpart, which was Sons of Thunder. Amen. And did a lot of Daughters of Zion conferences with Mother. Amen. I would be on the organ, and other people would be on the keyboards, and I still could hear Mother say, "He's coming in. He's coming in." That's it. Hit it. By the time she said hit it, we drove, and we drove on. Amen. It was time for us to have a high time in the Lord. And that is the foundation, if you will, of what this Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference is. It's bringing us together and calling us back to holiness, but it is also a time of training and instruction in prophetic ministry. As an apostle, my job is to deal with the impartation and, you know, covering what's going on. As I am the chief apostle over the organization, senior pastor of the church. So I have responsibilities there too. But when we were with Mother, we used to take some time, and it wasn't a male or female event. It was a Body of Christ event. Amen. And with that Body of Christ event, when it was time, we had some church. I'm talking about some serious church. And those of you who are familiar with Mother Stella Boyd, the late Mother Boyd, then you know that when we had service, it was about a high time in the Lord. So we're inviting you out, and we want you to mark your calendars. October 18th and 19th will be at the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Wonderful place that they're allowing us to use at 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. And we're looking forward to seeing you. Service time starts at 7 p.m. There's a prayer brunch on Saturday a.m. Saturday at 10 a.m. We have Mother Willie Mae Butts, amen,
yeah,
from Church of God in Christ, mm-hmm, East Central Florida. Butts Miracle Temple. Mm-hmm. Many of you know that song, It's Time for a Miracle. It's about time for a miracle. Well, Bishop Butts, her son, wrote the song. Amen. A good friend of ours. And she's going to bless us. Her daughter, Psalm Gracie Butts, will be there doing praise and worship for us. Let's just say you don't want to miss this. Everyone's excited, and we're looking forward to a high time in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Listen, let's get into this word. Tonight, we have been dealing with Romans, the 12th chapter, and we were right at the end. We have started with the first verse and worked our way down. To dealing with how we behave as Christians. Amen. Mm-hmm. And even to the point where we dealt with, in the 14th verse, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And I think that as we've been dealing with this, we have to be realistic that there's a lot of pain in the body of Christ. And it's not pain in the body of Christ because there's no healing for us. It's because a lot of people will simply not accept the way that God decided to heal us. That means that we have to deal with some forgiveness. Amen. As long as you hold on to the fact that you were hurt, then you hold on to the fact that you're not healed. Amen. So, what we have to do is we have to allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to come in and instruct us and teach us and train us and deal with us, because you're hurt and you're suffering right now because you refuse to allow the Spirit of God to come in and deal with the issues of life. Those issues of life are the issues that the enemy has tried to use to destroy you. Now, understand this. Romans 8 and 28, we know this, that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose, or those who are called according to his purpose. You know, and as we deal with that, then we know that all things work together for our good, as long as we adhere to the calling. And that calling is set in his purpose for our lives. So that means that I can't just show up and try to make life and make situations form upon what I like. I have to see what God is saying. I have to agree with what he's saying. I have to apply what he's saying to my life and follow his will, his plan, his purpose for my life. And when I do that, then no matter what happens to me, it is for my good. It'll make me. Because what it does is it begins to tax certain things that are on the inside of me. Those things that I try to hold on to and make excuses for. I have a saying that we got to stop making excuses for bad behavior. And simply put, that means that when you make an excuse for bad behavior, you're saying that, listen, this is just me. This is just how I see it. This is how I feel. This is what I want to do concerning it. You know, but God has a different take on that. He tells us what to do. He tells us how to do it. Amen. And when he gives us instructions, then we take that in, look at it, see it, apply it to our life. And even though you have to go through some changes sometimes, you'll find out that the outset of a process is better than the beginning of that process. So you'll come into a process with a behavioral issue or an attitude or with a vice or with something that will cause you problems in your spiritual walk. Amen. And afterwards, you'll find out that in that area, you don't respond to the enemy or you don't respond to the situation like you did when you first got into it. Let's see what it says over here in the book of Ephesians. Amen. Mm-hmm. Just a few things I want to run back past you. Amen. As we progress on. Amen. When we look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Amen. And we get down to the 10th verse, and this is where we left off. We saw that he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle, 12 verse, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. When is the evil day? The evil day is when the enemy comes seeking your destruction and you have put on the whole armor of God. Now you are walking according to the protection that he provides, God provides, amen? And as you walk according to it, you find out that your weaponry is greater. Your defenses are greater than what the enemy has to come against you. But his constant trying and our constant battle here is seeing where that weakness is in the armor. He tries you. He tests you. He tries to whittle down your defenses. What he does is he begins to attack certain areas of your life. And as he attacks those areas, we know when your armor is thin or when your armor is not on based on how you respond to the attack. Amen? Let's see what it says here. 13 verse, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. That means that you don't put the armor on, sit back and don't worry about it. You put the armor on and you do everything you can to stand. Amen? We got too many people who are waiting on us to take what they're going through and make excuse for them. And, well, you know, God understands. Yes, he understands. That's why he provided a way of escape. Listen, if you could do it, then you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit to come in your life, teach you, guide you, and help you to walk the walk. He wouldn't send you to different spiritual leadership, spiritual fathers, mothers, your pastors, your bishop, your apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He wouldn't have set them in the body for your making. He wouldn't have set them there for your maturing, amen, because you would already have it. Well, like I got saved. I read the Bible myself, and I'm okay. Listen, you have to go through the process, amen. When we read in Romans, the 8th chapter, we see that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, because he knows what the mind of the Spirit is, and he does so according to the will of God. Amen. So everything that you're going through and everything that you're dealing with is for God's glory. Amen. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus said, listen, if it was up to me, I'd have this cup passed. And I'm paraphrasing it. If you need me to, I'll just say it as it is. But I think we understand because we know this scripture here. He says, if it's not my will, you know, here that I'm really worried about. I want your will to be done. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So what he's saying is, listen, if it's up to me, I don't have to go do anything. I'm kicking it. I'm having a good time. I got my apostles following me. We're doing some things. People are getting healed, saved, delivered. It's wonderful. And yet and still, I know that this is not the fullness of my assignment. Even though I would love to stay here and continue to do what I'm doing, I understand that there's some other things that I have to do. It is God's will for us to complete the assignment. Amen. John, the 4th chapter and the 33rd verse. They come back talking to Jesus. Jesus says this, and you have to understand I'm going back to Jesus because we're Christians. We follow after his example. Amen. We have to see how this armor works when we put it on as his representation in the earth. The disciples come back to him, and as they come back to him, they have their physical sustenance. Lord, we have meat for you. Come and eat. And he said, you know, I'm good. And they said, well, did somebody else feed him? And he said, my meat and my drink is to do the work of him who sent me and to finish his work. In other words, the way that I'm satisfied, the way that my hunger, my thirst is quenched and satisfied is to do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. So here we have people who are doing things, but they're not really trying to finish things. Somewhere along the line from here in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, amen, putting on the whole armor of God and doing everything, we got our vision and our focus off the battle, amen, huh? And we're not wrestling with the devil. In our minds, we feel that the devil's already defeated, so let me get on to my thing. Let me have my stuff. You know, give me my cars, give me my houses, give me all my other stuff because, I can live a good life now. Listen, understand the full assignment. Those are things that come along, amen. But you can't be so focused on those things that come along that you forget that you're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. Why the armor? Because you're still in a battle. There is still a fight here. And we have stopped fighting in the church. Amen. So what people have done is they've come in and they sing and they shout, you know, and they run around and they give offerings and they sow into their destiny and all the rest of this. And I wish I had time to go into that. But you have to understand that you can sow into your destiny just like we sow into our business. You know, I give into my business. I go to training and everything else so that I can become more efficient at it. I can become more articulate as I talk about the nomenclature of my business and how it's put together and understand the different terms and everything. I can do all of that. That's investing in my business, amen. When you invest in the kingdom of God, you get in the word. You hit your knees. You fast. You call upon the name of the Lord. You demonstrate the power of God. We go back to Mark, the 16th chapter and the 15th verse, amen. And we go out and do the assignment that he gave us. Notice the assignment hasn't changed, but our focus for the assignment has changed. Because we stopped going out to preach the gospel to every creature, 17th verse, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, we stopped doing all of that, trying to, you know, praise God for my next car, praise God for my next house, praise God for my next. Okay, well, if you're praising God for your next, then you're not on the battlefield. You're not on the line. Your weapon is down. The enemy's coming over that part of the field, and we have been bought away. You understand, by this image of me having all of this wealth, prosperity, and everything else without realizing that that is just the candy that the enemy's using to get you not to eat your vegetables. That's why you're weak. You're not eating the meat of the word. That's why you can't stand. See, we got to get back to this. This isn't the preaching that people want to hear because it doesn't stroke your ego. It calls you back to the basic of what this is. And God called us to an assignment. Get back to the assignment. Cry loud, spare not. We got to get back to this. Amen. So when it says here in Ephesians 6 and 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on your put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. And I said it on Saturday, we take the shield of faith to try to get our stuff, but the shield of faith is here, properly used, amen, with which, continue reading, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And because our faith was not in the word of God and in trusting in God so that we can see the trick of the enemy, we have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, amen. And that's why God has called us back into this place where we are crying loud and telling us, get it right. We got to get back to the assignment. Amen. So you use this shield of faith as a defensive weapon here. Amen. It is supposed to stop the work of the enemy, not progress its work. Amen. And when you need an offensive weapon, then you take on then after the helmet of salvation, 17 verse, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I'm going to go on into the 18th verse because it seems to me that we can deal with a lot of stuff and we can hear it, but we really can't deal with this last part here. Amen? Where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. So we haven't stopped praying to God for his will. I remember my mother, I remember the prayer warriors. We don't call them prayer warriors anymore. But I remember them praying and saying, God, work on me. Oh, work on me, Jesus. Work on me. Anything in me, take it out. I lay myself before you. Work on me. I need you. I need you, Lord. We stopped praying that. We started praying, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing for me. Every blessing you're sending my way, we receive it. Lord, it is our right as your children to receive. Stop, stop. Go back to the other prayer. Because God is trying to get us to recognize this one simple fact. And that is, until you have fully taken on the image of Christ, the blessings that he sends your way, you have a propensity to misuse it for your personal life, your personal edification. Amen? What are you saying? Well, okay, I'm glad you asked that. Let's go over here just quickly. Turn with me to James, the 4th chapter. Very familiar passage here. We see this in... amen. There we go. Look at what it says here. Let's start at the first verse and go down some. It says, James 4 and 1, where the wars and fights come from among you, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Now it makes sense why he said put on the whole armor of God. And when you look at the whole armor, you'll see that the helmet of salvation guards your mind. Amen. And when it guards your mind, then whenever the enemy is trying to do something in your body, amen, he has to come through your mind first. Well, what's the first thing that happens in your mind? Is if I pinch your hand, your mind tells you that your hand is hurting. You see that? If I thump on your toe, your mind tells you that your toe is hurting. So when you deal with salvation, no matter what comes and attacks the body, your mind, the mind of Christ, tells you that God is greater than that pain. You accept the healing that comes with it. You understand? Instead of magnifying the stomped on toe, the pinched hand, you simply go past it. Amen. Because you recognize that even though it happened, it does not have the effect of shutting the body down. And you have to understand that Satan is a roaring lion wandering around seeking who he may devour. But he has a hard time devouring because he has no teeth. Jesus defanged him at the cross. Huh? See, so when we begin to deal with this in reality, we see that all of these things The enemy said, well, listen, if I can't get them to take off the whole armor of God, I'll change their focus concerning what the armor is and how it should be used. So the fight that you're actually fighting is not about the enemy out. It's about the enemy in. You see that? What does it say here? Where do wars and fights come from amongst you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that wars in your members? You see that? That means that when you perceive something, the enemy has a way of showing you something, as Eve, showing you something and then painting a picture concerning it and then watching you move to your destruction. How many times has the enemy said or shown you something that was not correct? And after you got up on your soapbox, after you took out your sledgehammer to tear down everything, and, you know, you got up your sword and you're cutting down everything, and you look back on it, you find out that it was not what you perceived. But now look at the mess that you have made. See, the enemy knows how to paint the picture. And all of that comes down on the inside of us. Amen. Go back to what we read before. We battle not against flesh and blood. Most of the time our fight is against flesh and blood because we think people are trying to do something, or they just thinking this, or they only did it because of this, and it's always against you. Well, listen, if you have the mind of Christ, then you can turn around and do what he said in Romans, the 12th chapter. Bless those who curse you. Bless and not curse. Huh? What is it going to say? 17 verse, repay, do not repay evil with evil. You see that? See, we have to take those scriptures back in and stop taking offenses over everything. That was my parking spot. I parked here for the last year. Here they come trying to take my spot. They trying to get my place in. Stop. You're serving God. Thank God there's a parking space for you. If that one isn't available, take the next one. You know, we become territorial and try to put people in boxes and make them. And all of that is our selfish desires trying to be important. Amen. That's what's warring on the inside of us. I have a saying that I say, and that is that if you have an insecurity inside of you, no matter what people do to secure you, if it's not settled, that issue is not settled in your mind, you will always be insecure. Amen. You can be afraid that the sky is going to fall, or that someone's going to hit you or something, and build up walls around yourself, build big things over you to protect yourself. And after all is said and done, you'll go to sleep at night and still cringe in a corner in a fortress, afraid that somebody's going to get to you. See, the security isn't about what's outside, huh? It's about what's on the inside of your mind. And until you allow the Holy Spirit to settle that security issue or that insecurity issue, you'll never have security. Amen. Look what it says. It says, and the peace of God, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That means that if Jesus is all, he's going to take care of all situations, then your heart has to be in this, and your mind has to be in this, and it has to be guarded. Your salvation, the helmet of salvation. Amen? We have to do all those things and get rid of our personal selfish desires. Notice here, if you look at this in James, the 4th chapter, then let's just read it down, and I'll go back up and make a statement here. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Huh? You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You see that? Adulterer, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says, in vain the spirit who dwells in us yearns earnestly? Sixth verse. If all of that, Lord, I just want to have better. I just want to do better. Listen, we understand. But, you know, you got to go back to Matthew, the 6th chapter, about 33rd verse, and it gives you what you need. If you look at the verse before that, you'll see that our Father knows that you need these things. Amen? But he goes on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What's all these things? All those things the Father knows you have need of will be added to you. Amen? He's already made provision for your happiness and your success, but he's also put a demand or placed a demand on us and a responsibility on us for us to go through and make sure that our lives measure up to his call and his design for us. In other words, God's not going to give you the blessing without you going through the process to receive it. Stop trying to get something for nothing. Well, the Lord knows I got a problem in my flesh, and he's just going to, you know, he knows this. Yes, he knows this. That's why he made a way for escape with you, for you, called Jesus. And when you accept Jesus Christ, you go through the process of getting rid of every weight which so easily besets you, according to the word of God, and run the race with patience, amen, for the prize. So you're going on to do what you need to do, but you got to get out of your mind that God is just going to accept you as you is because your parents love you as you are. Amen? He's a parent who loves you so much that he challenges you and decrees and declares that you change from who you are to who he called you to be. Amen? So here, sixth verse, what does it say? It says, but he gives more grace. Huh? And I like that. Because when it says that, it's a closed sentence. Huh? The fifth verse gives us a question. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, comma, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Huh? Question mark. And then sixth verse, he gives us one sentence that hits us good. But he gives more grace. Now, when we talk about grace, we're talking about that unmerited favor, amen, charis, amen, or charis, if you will. That's where we get the word charismatic from, amen. So the word in the Greek is charis, amen. And as we begin to deal with that, we begin to see that this favor, this unmerited favor, covers us, amen. It allows us to do something. It allows us to walk in certain levels, in certain areas where maybe we should not have, we don't have the ability to do it ourselves. Isn't it interesting when we talk about grace, we talk about the fact that there are those that God has given grace for purpose. And even here, he gives us grace. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and 7. It says, but to each one of us, grace, charis, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So when we begin to deal with grace, we begin to deal with that unmerited favor. Unmerited means that you can't earn this. There's no way for you to do enough to earn this. Amen. If it's not given to you because of who it is that gives the grace, then you can't receive it. And who is it that gives it? Christ. Now it makes sense when we begin to look at Ephesians, the first chapter, amen, and we begin to see these words, amen. Ephesians 1 says, blessed be God, 1 and 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You see that? So Christ is the one who, the Father is the one who given us all these spiritual blessings as long as we are in Christ. You see that? Now, how do we know that we're in Christ? Well, he chose us. Keep reading for first. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Why? And this is the thing, we're going back to your purpose for being, amen, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and here it is, to the praise of the glory of his grace, you see that, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So when we begin to look at this and we begin to see it, we begin to see that you don't have to covet after anything. You don't have to war after anything. You can seek first the kingdom of God. You are predestined for greatness. God has already chosen you to be great. But he didn't choose you to be great in your mind with your car, your house, and all the rest of that. That's where we got off. And this is where we go back to James, the fourth chapter, because this is where the enemy has twisted the assignment and our focus. Huh? When we look at this, this is where we start praying those prayers, the give me prayer. Lord, bless me and slay my enemies. Kill them dead. Okay, listen, we're not supposed to be doing that. He didn't call us to kill our enemies dead. How are you supposed to witness to a world when all the world offends you because of your self-righteousness? So you're praying to God and asking him to kill and slay everything around you that ain't right. And give me all this stuff too. I want all the spoils of the world. Get out the Old Testament, get into the New Testament, where redemption is preached, where it's taught, where it's demonstrated through the life, the death, the resurrection, the assignment given to us by Jesus Christ himself. I said it before, Jesus would see the multitude and knew everybody's problem. He knew these people had problems and issues. Huh? But the Bible testifies that he saw them and had compassion on them, and it says that he healed them all. Amen? So that means that your salvation, it means that your deliverance, it means that your acceptance into the body of Christ is not predicated upon how you can earn brownie points with Jesus. You see that? It's predicated upon whether or not you accept him in your heart. Amen? And even as you do that, coming to him, you may experience the hand of God upon your life. How many of you can really testify that before you got say you saw miracles, signs, and wonders that occurred that let you know that God was real before you made a commitment to serve a real God? You see that? Because as I said, Jesus healed them all. That means they didn't come to him and say, Father, forgive me for all my sins. Now heal me of this leprosy. They came to him and said, heal me, heal me. And he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Notice this. He didn't say, did you believe in the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in... He didn't go through all that. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And when they say, yes, Lord, we believe. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. And when it happened, they gave glory to God. Wait a minute. Hold up. Stop the presses. Gave glory to God. You mean they didn't shout out his name and build a monument up to him and try to... No. They gave glory to God. What was Jesus doing here in the first place? He was here to give glory to God. Huh? My job is to do the work that the Father has given me and complete the assignment. See, when we understand this, then we understand how we can get this off. As a musician coming up in church, a preacher's child, I played for many revivals. I played for many churches, many ministries, helping them out. And if you want to see me do a quick retreat, start shouting your name. Start shouting another person's name. I can't give glory to any person that God uses. What are you saying? Listen, I can't glorify the vessel that God used. I have to glorify God for using a vessel. See, what happens is when I start hearing people say, what happened when I laid my hands on you? Or when I spoke that word in your life, what happened? Ooh, it came to pass. I'm telling you, the prophet's here. The prophet's here. Okay, stop. Put your finger down. Stop. Sit down and get it together, first of all. Okay, because unless the Holy Spirit spoke to you, you didn't have nothing to say. Unless the Holy Spirit worked through you at that moment, you didn't have nothing to do. Notice this, and I think I'm about to really hit some theological points here, because some people have this thing that God is going to work regardless. Well, the Bible talks about Jesus. Jesus could not do many miracles in Capernaum because of their unbelief. You see that? His family was there. He grew up there. They knew too much about him to believe that he could do what he was doing. So the Bible testifies that he could not do many miracles in Capernaum because of their unbelief. So what happens when we begin to believe God? Then miracles, signs, and wonders can and will manifest. You see that? So when she's doing the work and we believe in him, she gets the glory. So it's not what happened when I prophesied. It says God gave me a word to speak to you, and what happened after you obeyed that word. Well, this is what happened. To God be the glory. Okay, now God can continue to get the glory out of your life. When I prophesied and I spoke that word, what happened to you? Oh, when the prophet spoke, I heard. See, well, what they do is they do that, and then they try to build up their offering. So I'm going to have this offering. I'm going to have this line here, and I want you all to come. And the greater the gift, the greater the blessing. Hold up. The blessings of the Lord I just read for you, huh? He has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, okay? So as long as we are in assignment, as long as we are in fellowship, as long as we are pursuing after the kingdom of God, those blessings are going to come. You are honoring God, you know, and loving on him. Your gift that you bring to him is just an expression from your heart of how much you love Jesus. Amen. Now, understand tithes, amen, are to come in. That's his way he set up. Offerings come in to establish and support the local church, amen, huh? But even at that, you're not gifting the man of God. You're not gifting the woman of God. And if you do so, there was provision in the Levitical law even for that. See, we've gotten off into these other, you know, splinters of how I can get more money, how I can raise more money. And they begin to pick up these different theologies, prosperity theologies and the rest. And as they've done so, they've changed the gospel. They're not preaching James 4 because they don't want you thinking that you can't give your way into your next blessing. Huh? They want you to think that your seed is powerful and it's more. The more that you sow a seed into this ministry, the more God's going to bless you. No, we got to get out of that televangelism state of mind and get back into the word of God. Brother and sister, you're blessed if you're following after God. God is going to make sure that you receive the blessing. Galatians 4th chapter lets us know why we don't receive. Because we won't mature to the place where the Father can release it into our hands. You see that? That's a developmental thing. That's not a gift thing. You can't give your way to heaven. You got to change your life, accept Jesus Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work on the inside of you. If we go back to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we start reading down, you'll see that the whole purpose and point of this is that we are to be conformed to the image of his son. Conform. Huh? Go into Romans 12. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Christ Jesus. You see that? There's some changing that has to go on. And when your mind changes, then your desires change. James 4 stops having a hold on you because you're not fighting yourself and fighting your blessing. You see that? You'll see that everything comes to you. Look at these words. It says, do they not come from your desire for pleasures? You see that? So your desire is after him. And if he blesses you with a hoopty, thank God you're not walking. You'll find a blessing in there. And then when he sees that you're not disgruntled because he gave you a hoopty instead of your Maserati, then you'll go ahead and be able to graduate to your Cadillac, graduate to your Mercedes, graduate to your Bentley. You know, if that's what his will is for you. But if he never gives you the Bentley, never gives you the Mercedes, never gives you the Cadillac, you'll be happy with what he gives you because you're satisfied with him. See, we don't preach that because we want you to think that the better you look, the better you're going to make me look. And I'm going to make sure that I look good, because I'm going to keep telling you that the better you look, the better I need to look. So we stop preaching the gospel to preach wonderful marketing schemes, life skills instead of pastors. What is it, life coaches? We have life coaches in Christian pulpits instead of pastors loving on and correcting the sheep. What are you going to tell Jesus when he comes back? Checking on you and what you've done with what he's giving you. See, when you're doing that, then you won't be sleeping with the membership. Ooh, wow. You won't be stealing out the offering basket. See, this ain't popular, but I'm not trying to be popular. I'm called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's the one who called me. He's the one that gave me this message. And since he gave it to me, I have to be obedient in order to receive my reward and my blessing. That means that I have thick skin. I have to develop thick skin and not be people pleasing. My gospel, my message doesn't change because your offering amount changed. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. We're going to preach this gospel. Amen. Let me continue here so I can get back over and fit it all in. For first, James 4 and 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Isn't it interesting that he used the word adulterer? That means you're committed to one, but you're having relations with another. You see that? You're committed to him, but you're courting the world. You see that? Do you not know friendship with the world is enmity with God? Wherefore, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The one that you swore that you love, you make yourself an enemy of it. And because we don't get into the word to know this, and it's not preached because it's not popular, then we go past this. So we befriend the world, and then, you know, we look at what the world is bringing in as a peace offering for us. Listen, a peace offering doesn't do anything unless you're being transformed by it. Amen. When you come in, change your life. We accept thieves, robbers, liars, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, drugs, alcoholics, drug addicts, pimps, prostitutes, everything. We accept you all. But once you get here, I'm going to apply this word to your life. And we're going to look for the change that says that you have accepted him. Amen. It's not whether or not you are any of those things. You coming from that lifestyle, you coming from that mindset, you coming from those places just testifies of the efficacious properties of the blood of Jesus, that it still works today and it still works on that. Amen. So we accept you. But once you get here, you're going to be challenged to change. Oh, I know. I just want to come. Okay, this isn't about your religious relief. Amen. We're not trying to give you that psychological, emotional. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to change your life. See, this battle that we're fighting, as I started at the very beginning, put on the whole armor of God. We stop fighting the battle, running after stuff, and we got to get back to the battle. Amen. The time is winding up. You only have so much time here. What are you going to say as you give account for your time? How you squandered it on selfish ambitions, trying to put Jesus' name upon it. He's going to say, listen, I don't know you, and that wasn't my assignment. You messed it. You messed up. Depart from me. I never knew you. Ooh, but I've been in church, and I gave, and I did. Did you do any changing? Did you conform to the image of his son? Is your mind transformed? Huh? Has your mind been renewed? See, we can't answer those questions not in our current state of ecclesia, our current state of church and Christendom today. You understand? We got to get back to the word. Amen? Huh? So when he says in the sixth verse, he says, but he gives more grace. I said it before. Grace is the period that is afforded you to get it right. though your light should have been shut off on the second, they'll give you 5 days grace until they actually cut it. That means that if you are dealing with grace now, amen, if they go to the sixth day, you're under mercy. You understand? That means it should be cut now, regardless. You pass grace, you're under mercy. And there are people who have left their estate, amen. Look at a third of heaven has left its estate. And those angels fell with Lucifer when he fell. You see that? And here we are, we have been given the gift of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And yet and still, we have people who are trying to explain why they should be who they are. Huh? Let's get off of this. This is a personal thing that you're doing. It has nothing to do with building the kingdom of God. Grace has co-part to it, a counterpart to it, which is long-suffering. Amen? Our Lord is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. But brothers and sisters, long has an end. Amen? And when he says, okay, I'm done, then the mediator can't mediate for you anymore. Romans, the first chapter, he gave them over to themselves since they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. Because every time you do what's wrong and you know what's right, huh? Then God says, listen, I'm tired of struggling with you. Okay, you won't accept Jesus. You won't accept the confirmation to be a son. Huh? You won't transform yourself by the renewal of your mind. Okay, I'll let you have your mind. I'll let you think what you want to think. You show up to church, but you're not the church anymore. There's a church within the church. Those who will follow after the Father. Those who follow and obey those he has given the power to become the sons of God. Your obedience to the will of God is paramount if you're going to make it today. Amen? Huh? So then you can't deal with the seventh verse here. Therefore, let's finish the sixth verse. Therefore, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Seventh verse, therefore, submit to God. We're back to submitting to him. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Amen. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You've been fighting, trying to get up the wrong way. Here is a roadmap for you to make it. You go down to go up. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this word. We're not done. We're just stopping here. Lord, even as you've given this to us, Lord, we thank you for it now. Thank you for this time of ministry. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a heart to follow after you and serve you again. We've gotten so off track, running after cars, houses, money. We want people to shout our names, and we want to wear big watches and rings and chains and everything else, and we've forgotten that we're here to do a work. Those things are nice, but they cannot replace the completion of assignments that you've given us. So, Lord, help us, Lord, to get back to the foundation and back to the assignment in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, Lord, that we would take an assessment of ourselves. And then, Holy Spirit, you show us what we need to do to get back on track in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, right now that if anyone is listening and they're not saved, they don't know Jesus Christ, in a pardon of their sins, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now that if they prayed that prayer, Lord, that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they can be developed and mature and go on to do the work that you've given them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And thank you for every miracle, sign, and wonder, every deliverance that will manifest in the name of Jesus, because they are obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us to help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Don't forget, October 18th and 19th in Cocoa, Florida, the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference will be commencing, and you really want to be there. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord.